All right, ladies and gentlemen, Joe Budden, Marissa, go ahead.
Hold up, son. Word.
Yeah. To all the killers and the $100 billers.
For real, because who ain't got I will name this podcast later, episode 5.
Number 5. We've gotten to a month.
That is what that means.
That is. I know you were looking for that last week, so here we are.
Yep. I'm excited. I sound much better.
You do.
I had a little cold. I'm much better. What is
Like that was like, oh, Joey is had that a what cold. That is? Yeah.
I don't understand you like young people's lingo.
You refer to young people every single week.
Every day. I hate you all. I hate every
but
single
yeah,
fucking
most
one of you.
Most of your friends are my age group. They're mostly in their 20s.
I have to kick the truth to the young black youth and Spanish youth.
Yeah.
And white youth, because Rory's white, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like somebody has to teach the young people.
So that's what you are. You're our teacher.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm like Yoda.
Okay. Well, there's a way to look at it that I don't look at it, so.
I'm sure I look at a lot of things a lot of ways that you don't look at them. But anyway, last week was probably my favorite
episode like
that we have done thus far.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully they'll just keep getting better.
Yeah, I feel like they are.
Do I need to ask you about your weekend? I feel like I shouldn't have to hear about your weekend every fucking week, but...
I really didn't have anything to write home about. Went out on Saturday for my friend's birthday. That's about it.
Who's your friend?
Carol.
All right, we don't know Carol.
You met her once.
None of that is intriguing. Mm. What's going on in the universe that we must discuss? What's a hot topic out there?
There's a lot going on. Double XL freshman list.
Well, what's going on that we have to care about?
I care about that.
Double XL freshman list.
Well, the nominees for the list. Voting goes
now,
on
now, this
week.
List every year is a pretty big deal. And mm-hmm. I'm never really sure why that is.
I think it just speaks to first of exactly all, what it is. Who's up next?
First of all, you know, let me preface this entire podcast by saying I'm probably going to say a lot of things in this podcast that people disagree with. And some of it factual, some of it my own opinion. I don't really care who's angry and upset about it. Shout out to McConan from last week.
Caught a body, son.
All right. print, as in double XL,
mm-hmm.
as in the source, as in any print, is probably at an all-time low. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know that. To be truthful, because I'm not checking the sales of these magazines.
It is actually Double XL stop print, and they're only doing special editions, one of which is the freshman cover.
Double XL stopped print.
Mm-hmm. And they are only doing this now. So the freshman cover and like a special edition.
So there is no more Double XL print, is what you're saying.
Print, right. They're online.
That's interesting to me. Mm-hmm. All right. So what I'm saying is, yeah, print is at an all-time fucking low. Because you people just want to read shit on Twitter and from blogs, and you guys don't pick up newspapers and shit like that anymore. So nobody is really spending $4.99 or $3.99 or whatever it costs on a magazine. But albeit, there's this freshman cover that normally opens plenty of dialogue because a lot of people disagree with the people that mm-hmm. are there. I've spoken to Vanessa, who's the editor at XXL over the years about this cover, and the process is a tedious one, according to her, and I will take her at her word. Do any of these people ever pan out?
I think they have a pretty good success rate.
I mean, the people that were not panning out.
That's the one thing that bugs me. I feel like they make a lot of very safe and obvious decisions. Like, these people are already quite popular. They already either have an album about to come out or did come out, and they still put them on the cover. It's like you knew that was like an easy no-brainer kind of situation.
Yeah, so it's not like they pick the people who would really gain some traction by being on this cover.
Right.
I think they pick a good amount of people that will sell covers.
It feels like more like a sophomore list than
yeah,
a freshman
not really
list.
A freshman list. But with that being said, and shout out to Sue Surf and Trev Rich from Denver, Sue Surf from Jersey, both my guys who are both campaigning to be on this freshman cover I don't think either of them will make it for the reasons that I just said, because it seems like a sophomore list.
I don't even think they're up for the voting. I believe that they've already... The voting list that's up is a ton of artists, and I believe that all the ones that are already going to make it, that they've already picked behind the scenes, are on that list, including the one that's going to get the fan vote.
So I do feel like, they and that's the other thing. See, they do this type of shit so that everyone can support their guy and everyone can, you know, Instagram it, and it's just a bunch of fuckity fuck shit. But with that being said, who are the people on this list?
It's a ton of people.
See, dude, I don't want to talk about a ton of people.
How, I'm going to name the one that...
Who are the... So these are the people that are up
look
for
at all
voting.
That.
Oh, no, I don't want to talk about
exactly. So I'm
going to
name...
She just showed me a picture with like
a
80,
trillion
80 people.
Yeah. Adrian Marcel, who had that hit 2 a.m., he's up for it.
All right, now, I like Adrian Marcel. Adrian Marcel put out my song, Waiting, that I love.
You know what? I believe that you and... And Kaylin were actually on him before 2 a.m.
Years ago.
Yeah.
Years ago we were on
that's
Adrian
how
Marcel.
I knew the name. Yeah, okay. So yeah, you guys have been on him. So I feel like he could deserve a spot there.
He's great.
Bankroll Fresh from Atlanta. I've heard his name tossed in a lot of circles.
I don't know anything about it.
Baz, who's with J. Cole's crew.
Don't know anything about it. Now let me just let the listeners know that I'm probably I probably shouldn't be the source of info for anything hip hop related. Because I fucking hate hip hop. No. I'm joking. But I don't. These people that she's naming are not people that I would wake up and look for their music and play it in my house.
I don't know how to say his last name, but Bishop Nehru, I suppose he's.
Can we get to the
Mass
the,
Appeal?
All right.
Bobby Shmurda's up there.
Bobby Shmurda. Shout out to Shmurda. Shout out to the old GS9. I do feel like he should be on this cover, of course, even though he's incarcerated.
I don't know if I agree.
Rowdy, you don't know if you agree.
Rowdy's up too. I don't know if I agree because he's incarcerated. He can't necessarily have a promising career, and that's what this is supposed to be. The people that they believe will be the next up if he's behind bars.
I don't think that's fair.
I mean, I would.
He might get out.
I would absolutely put him on if he was free.
Well, he might get out.
But doesn't look good.
And his work has already been done. He had a huge hit. He had everybody doing the fucking Shmurda dance.
And Bobby Bitch was also a good follow up.
Yeah, and his crew, Rowdy, Computers. I think they both need to be on.
Computers is a dope song.
Computers is my shit.
Yeah, I really enjoy that in the club. Casey Veggies, I feel like he deserves a spot.
I want him to change his name.
Yeah, I like that name.
Veggies, I hate Veggies.
I think it's cool he could play with the whole peas and carrots thing that he does.
I guess.
Chinks. Coke
Chinks.
Boys, I think he...
Chinks should be there.
Yeah, I think so. I feel like he... Yeah. No, you know, he should. He had a good year with Fuck Your Feelings and all that stuff.
He had a great year.
Yeah, I think he's good. CJ Fly from New York, Dave East.
I'm just going to shut up about the people that I'm not too familiar with.
Okay, I think Dave East should be up there.
Why?
Actually, I feel like it's a little premature for him.
Exactly.
I think next year he might deserve a spot. I do think he's really dope. I think he has a good, the co-sign by Nas is really good. The music is good. He has brand alignment already. Rockaware just put him as an ambassador. But I do think it's a bit early for him. I think next year might be good. Dej Loaf is up there.
You just threw that that ambassador word sounded like really important.
Yeah, well, that's literally what they're.
What does that mean?
I think that it's just you get free clothes and you. I think that's what it is.
Yeah, all right.
So, I don't know though. He could be getting paid.
I know
to
they
promote.
Picked him and Fab.
Yeah, dope as, little commercial.
As the front guys for that whole
black
campaign that they're doing.
Yeah, so I don't know. He's a good looking guy.
Good looking guy. I can see why it's done.
Yeah, feels good. Dej Loaf. Who
big single?
Yeah,
big year.
And now she's going on tour with Nicki Minaj, which
she
is also a good
be
look
there.
For her. Yeah,
she should be there.
I think she will be.
Shout out to Detroit.
I'm skipping over a bunch. Eric Bellinger.
Eric Bellinger has been working his tail off for quite some time.
Yep.
Born to Sing Volume 1, Born to Sing Volume 2, The Rebirth. Even though it is just a bunch of old songs, it's still a great music that he's been putting out.
He's a good writer too.
Great writer has been. Was on a part of the writing crew for Fine China, Chris Brown, which I love. Totally a fan.
Yeah, I think he's dope. Fat Trell from MMG. Nothing. Got it.
Well, I'm not familiar enough. Of course,
yeah,
I course
don't know
I've
any of his
him.
Body of work.
Of course, I know who he is, but I'm not familiar enough with his music.
Our guy Fetty Wap, Jersey.
Fetty Wap.
I am super.
I'm gonna
amped
always
for him.
Campaign for Fetty Wap
in
New Jersey, just because he's from New Jersey.
Oh, for sure. Our guy, I love McConan's up there.
You know, now McConan
I'm pretty sure he'll get it.
Probably should be up there, too.
Grammy nominated off the first
Even though
single.
I do think it's a wrap for him and it's over.
Agreed. But he got the OVO deal, got a big single, got a Grammy nom.
How much stock are we putting in the OVO deals? If your name is not Party.
Also on the list, Party.
Oh, yeah. Give them the cover.
For sure.
I love Party.
I love him,
too. All right, what else is happening here?
K-Camp.
I feel like this is taking too long. K-Camp, I love.
King Los, I feel like he's been doing this way too long to get a freshman cover. Love him. Feel like
he's still a freshman.
Okay. Manolo Rose.
I don't know if that is that song national.
It's not. Run, I feel Bobby, like it's very, it's Ricky. Bobby. Yo,
I just said Run Bobby Run. Run Ricky Run.
That's Bobby's cousin.
And I love that song. That song is great, but yeah. Is it a national record?
No. OT Genesis, I feel like he'll get it. Coco was crazy.
Coco's wave was shorter than I anticipated it would be.
I think he's still going to get it because that's the kind of choices that the Double XL freshman has
And you know what? Troy Ave got the cover last year, right? On the freshman?
Yeah.
He did.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like every now and then they will pick somebody with a regional impact. And that may be Manolo Rose, just to backtrack. But, all right, who else is here? How many more people of importance are on this list? Because I don't want to keep talking about this.
OG Mako, bitch, you guessed it.
Women love that song.
Yeah. Retchie P, I want him to win because he's also from Jersey. Are you familiar with him?
Who?
Retchie P, or Retch, I believe he goes by. I'm not sure which
one. What's his song?
I can't name one.
No, I'm not familiar.
Oh, well, he's from Jersey and he's fucking crazy.
Put him on!
Yeah, exactly. That's why I want him. Shy Glizzy, Rowdy, like I said, Snooty Wild, Tink, she's dope as fuck.
Ah, everybody keeps saying that.
No?
I'm not just going to throw that cosign out there.
And then,
Young she's different.
Young Lito is another name that I recognize.
Young Lito from BSB,
which
Troy,
I think that's a little way too premature, too. He doesn't even have anything playing really on the radio. So, although he's on.
So you do need a record playing to be on this list.
No, because as of last year, I don't believe Troy Ave had anything in rotation.
Yeah, but Troy Ave did Summer Jam. He had a lot of other very small things that worked in combination.
Mm. So far, my favorite class is 2012.
Who was on 2012?
Danny Brown, Hobson, MGK, Macklemore, French, Future, Kid Ink, Don Tripp, Iggy, Azalea, and Roscoe Dash.
That's an amazing class.
Yeah, I feel like that has the highest success rate of them all.
That's a great class.
Yeah.
Why didn't I make a freshman cover?
Because you've been in this game since I was born.
All right. Let's slow down.
When and they didn't start until 2008, which was Lupe Fiasco, Little Boosie, your man Joel Ortiz.
Crooked Eye.
Yes. Ply, Saigon, Rich Boy, Young Dro, Gorilla Zoe, Papoose, and like you said, Crook.
See, when people do these things, I feel like the same way. I think that, let's say an NBA draft. Let's say a 2015 NBA draft. Mm-hmm. I feel like in 2020, we should dip back to 5 years ago to see exactly how that
revisit
went.
Yeah, that's what I had written a thing about that.
Yeah, but we're not going to do that right this very second.
I know,
all right, so the XXL freshman, when is this cover supposed to come out?
They've been coming out in weird time. I think last year it didn't come out until like May or something like that. But the voting ends on March 22nd.
I'd love for the people that listen to this podcast to tweet me at Joe Budden, JoeBudden. And no, some of them may not.
Okay.
And let me know if any of this Double XL freshman cover shit matters to you, and if it does, why? And if it doesn't, why? I would love to hear it.
Yeah.
Because I'm one of the people that have a hard time figuring out why this is such a big deal every year.
I mean, I think if nothing else, although this is not the only reason why I think it's a big deal, I think it's a great conversational piece, and it puts these artists in the names of, I mean, in the mouths of people that they might not have been in before. It just highlights.
No, it's great for the people that are
a part of it. No, but I think it's great just for people, just discussion. It's a good
talk. And that's probably part of my problem. Discussion.
Why does that matter?
It's difficult to read and hear the discussions that people have regarding hip-hop today.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think. Have you heard Kendrick Lamar's album?
No. I'm not a fan.
So you didn't listen to it?
No.
Are you going to listen to it?
Why would I listen to someone that I'm not a fan of?
Because you're a blogger?
Yeah, but that has nothing to do with it.
Sure it does.
I'm not writing about Kendrick's life. If he posts a music video, I will watch the video and explain what you're watching.
This is my problem with bloggers.
What do you want us to like have this vast? It's not like I don't know who he is. That would be a problem as a blogger. I know who he is. I know his body. I'm familiar with his body's work. I'm familiar with his crew, everything that he does. I don't listen to his music because I'm not a fan of it. But when I'm going to post something like a video or a song, I will listen. I will do my research. I know what's going on. And I write an educated post.
But it's kind of my point. So Kendrick Lamar cannot get a blog post.
He could get a blog post. He does.
Based off his music.
He did. I posted about his album yesterday.
What'd you say?
That it leaked early and the TDE president was pissed about it, or rather CEO, I believe.
Yeah, that's my beef with bloggers. Bloggers just talk about all the unimportant shit.
That's what we, that's the not, point of our blogs.
That's unimportant shit.
That's not unimportant. That isn't important. People care about that.
Nobody cares about
because
that.
Because you don't care about it. It got actually people, ton of people cared about it.
Can I be proven that a ton of people cared about it?
Yeah, because you go on.
Way more people cared about the actual content and the album itself.
Right. Well, you can't.
But
post
yet
an
you
album.
Didn't post about that at all.
Didn't, yeah, you did. You post about the, what do you post why, about? Why what not, are you supposed to
why
say?
Not, why not have someone who will actually listen to the album and critique it and give their opinion?
There's certain sites for that. There's album reviews. I don't work for sites that do album reviews, and people that want to can go to
so
those
site,
sites and
the,
read
so
album
the, so
reviews.
So the site you work for just posts all the unimportant shit. Is that what you're saying?
You call it unimportant because you don't care, but people do
so
care.
Your site,
they want to
so,
know what people are saying in the world. They want to know what's going on in entertainment.
So it's catered to the casual fan.
Sure, but I'm not discussing just Life is Tremendous. I'm talking in Flex We Trust as well.
Okay. Anyway, I'm off of that. So you don't like Kendrick Lamar. Why exactly?
It's just not my kind of music.
You haven't heard the album?
No, I hear what he puts out. I hear it in passing. I can be not a fan
so
of somebody's
So hearing
stuff.
Something in passing and hearing something when you're out.
Have you heard Iggy Azalea's album?
And you work for a radio station.
Yeah.
Which is the difference between you and I. You work in this world.
You do know that radio stations don't play the whole album, right?
No, but I would assume that there is some dialogue about new music that comes out.
Right, but
actually,
the singles
I know that, to
that
be
they're
true.
Servicing the radio.
I know, no. There's dialogue about the albums that come out as well, and I know this because I also worked for that very same radio station. So you're not going to tell me that no dialogue at
all
ever
happens. I'm not saying we
don't
discuss it, but you're saying like I should be in there listening to the full album when it happens.
Did you hear Kendrick Lamar's last album?
No. I've heard bits and pieces
what
of it.
What do you listen to outside of Ty Dolla $ign? This is my problem. The people that have so much to say regarding hip hop know absolutely.
I don't have so much to say. I'm not sitting
you
up there
are a blogger.
Calling
you
people
blog
shit
every day about fucking hip hop, and you
about
know absolutely nothing
on.
About all of the bullshit, gossip, chatty patty.
So then
nonsense.
I'm a gossip blogger. Then that's what I am.
There we go.
But I never classified myself as anything other than. I never said, "Hey, everyone, Marissa Mendez, hip hop blogger. Nice to meet you."
But you never classified yourself as a gossip blogger.
I never classified myself as anything. I'm a writer.
That's my.
I am a writer.
That
I write.
Is not a fucking writer.
Yes, the fuck it is. I write paragraphs on paragraphs on paragraphs. I am a writer. It's not. I don't write two blurbs like some of the other sites. I write paragraphs.
What sites?
I don't know.
What sites do that? Since
other
you want to call
sites
off these
that
sites?
I'm just saying. Other sites that want to post a video and be like, "Check out new video."
Give me your definition of a classic album. Miss fucking I am hip hop journalistic integrity
I
blogger
don't
fucking
say
writer.
That, but classic album.
A classic album.
Kanye's.
I didn't ask for
dark
an example of a classic album.
So what do you want?
Your definition.
Oh, a timeless album.
A timeless album.
Well crafted, put together body of work that can go over time.
This also proves my point. About this generation.
What?
I don't think anybody in this generation knows what the word classic means anymore.
Classic. Timeless.
When did Kanye's My Dark Twisted Beautiful Fantasy come out?
I want to say 2010.
Can we fact check that, please?
No, I know for sure.
What year is it now?
2015. What?
That's timeless to you.
Yeah, well, it's still relevant now.
Five years.
For now, it's classic. Maybe we'll have to revisit this in 5 years.
And why is that album a classic?
Because it was fucking amazing from start to finish. It was the orchestra. Everything about it was just fucking amazing.
I do
that
love
was a real body of work.
I do love that album.
Amazing album.
I don't know if that's the first or second album that people call a classic when they talk about Kanye's albums. That's my point.
I mean.
But off of that. All right. So Marissa doesn't know what classic means.
I do. Okay.
So I can't ask you if you thought that Good Kid, Mad City was a classic.
I think what it meant to hip hop was makes it classic. Doesn't because I don't listen to it doesn't mean I don't know what it did or what people felt
Kendrick's,
about it or
Ken, I'm done the talking message to you. You don't, that you resonated. You don't know enough hip hop for me to have this discussion. All right, so Kendrick's album, To Pimp a Butterfly, which I would like to think is a play off To Kill a Mockingbird. I haven't heard him say that, but I'm going to assume that that's where the title derives. It was leaked the other day.
Yep.
And then iTunes put out the link, and then the link disappeared.
Although the clean remained up. They took down
the clean was up, which is another tidbit I find pretty interesting, because this album in particular is probably not one where the clean would suffice.
Mm-hmm.
And then we saw the TDE president express his displeasure with the rollout.
Yeah, he believed Interscope fucked up with getting it.
And he didn't hold back in that.
Mm-hmm.
See, now this is information that I deem useful. This stuff is interesting to me. Well, bloggers have blogged about this too.
Yeah, that's what I wrote about yesterday. You just said
don't try to fucking pat yourself on the back. I would think that you would get into a little more detail about it. But so he expressed his displeasure, and instantaneously everyone began to tweet about this album, rightfully so. I think Kendrick Lamar has earned that right as a phenomenal, exceptional artist and lyricist, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then this is where things got a bit weird. I saw people claiming this album to be a classic album. I want to say no more than an hour after its release, number one. I saw a lot of people say that they enjoyed this album far, far more than they did his last album.
His
which
debut.
I thought was very interesting as well.
I saw someone say that he was at Outkast levels of progression and that this album is light years ahead of Good Kid, Mad City.
I saw that as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then I watched Elliot Wilson flood my timeline with
his retweets of everyone else's
his retweets of
Elliot.
All of the amazing things that people had to say about this album.
Mm-hmm.
Then I saw Kanye West chime in.
Kanye was very excited about this
album. Said
he
was going to start his day with this album.
Mm-hmm.
And then apparently he listened to it and he expressed his thoughts on it and his appreciation for the artist that Kendrick is. I saw Pusha T. I saw Game, Nipsey, everybody. Well, mm-hmm. Game and Nipsey, that's to be expected. Cali, mm-hmm. Westside Compton. I get it. My thing is this.
What?
An artist full of the substance that Kendrick is filled with. I don't think you can digest. Well, first, I don't really think you can digest very many albums in an hour or less. That's number one. Especially this album.
With the depth that he's going to really understand.
Yeah, I think you need to, I think people need to respect people's artistry. And, you know, people put their blood, sweat, and tears into music. And they spend months, sometimes years, to formulate this body of work that most times is about a 60-minute listen. And people just digest it, listen to it. No, not digest it. People just listen to it, start tweeting their fucking thoughts. Fucking, it's just so
very
fast.
Very premature.
Yeah. Another thing that bothers me about people and the way that they listen to music, it seems, I could be totally off base here, it seems as if people listen to music today to hate it first.
Yeah, to have like a Twitter opinion and just...
They're looking for what they do not like mm-hmm. about music. Now, I'm not cut from that cloth because I don't listen to anyone that I don't like unless I have to. Unless it's such a pop culture phenom that I have to just listen to it to be aware of what's being said, which is why I ultimately went and listened to Kendrick's album. Not that I wouldn't have listened to it, but I have a few rules about listening to music. Number one, I try not to listen to music as soon as it comes out.
Because?
Well, number one, I don't want to be influenced by the newness of music.
Okay.
And what people are saying and feeling about the music. That's number one. Number two, all new music sounds great. It sounds better than it probably should and will if you just give it a second.
All new everything is always better.
Yeah. Yeah. New like shit new pussy is typically... Well, I'm not on that wave, and we can have that conversation during another podcast. I'd love to recycle pussy rather than just stick my dick in some new pussy.
All right,
pussy.
Let's get back to this conversation.
Unless the new pussy is like really, really great. But yeah, new music generally sounds better.
Mm-hmm.
I try to stay away from that. I like to like really digest albums. Takes me back to the days when you can buy an album, you would read the credits, you would read the entire insert. Like those days are far, far past us now. We're in this new digital era where people could give two fucks about any of that. So
I did that with No Love Lost, though.
I didn't want to, thank you. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to listen to Kendrick's album right away. I wanted to wait, but there were so many opinions floating around about it that I had to take it in for myself. So I played the album alone.
In a dark room.
Alone with an incense lit. That's my yoga thing that I get on. Candles lit. I have an amazing sound system that makes everything sound like the dopest shit ever made. Shout out to Bose.
Loud.
It's really, really great. And I listened to it all the way through, and I hated it.
Okay.
And then I said, I could be wrong. I have to respect the artist that Kendrick is.
Mm-hmm.
Let me listen to it again. And I listened to it again, all the way through, with my incense lit and my candle lit. And I thought that hate was a bit harsh. This is what I came away with about this album. This album is it's beautifully constructed. In the same way that Good Kid, Mad City was like so well put together. Like it was such an amazing body of work. This album too was an amazing body of work. You could just hear the thought that went into it. Like that's a talent. Most artists are not able to put things together that way. Or if you are, it takes a tremendous amount of time and effort and energy. So I appreciate that about Kendrick and this album. You can tell that he had a point. You can tell that he had a message, and that was consistent all the way through. So that's number one. Number two, the music was really beautiful. The music was, it was unlike anything that you'll hear on a standard hip hop album.
Like the instrumentation and things like that?
Yes, it was very, there was a lot of, George Clinton,
Terrace Martin,
Bilal. So it was, I don't want to describe it incorrectly and say it was jazz influenced or funk influenced, but there was a combination of some other elements that are not normally present on hip hop albums. That was beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
That was very enjoyable to hear. But because of it, I don't know if I would deem this a hip hop album.
Ooh, interesting point.
I'm unsure.
Okay.
Kendrick is a hip hop artist.
For sure, through and through. He's a lyricist, he's a rapper.
But the instrumentation has me on the fence about that one. As beautiful as it is. I did appreciate that this was a thinker's album. This wasn't turn up in the club.
And that's why I
fucking
don't listen.
Let's get it popping. Let's fucking yeah. I loved all of that. And as to the point as he was with his message, I don't think that the content was for me. That's what I came away with on my second listen.
And I felt that I didn't need to listen to
now.
That.
Black or the Berry, amazing. Mortal Man, oh my goodness gracious, he fucking put his foot in Mortal Man. But I just don't think that this album is for everybody, and I'm certain that he probably knew that going in, and I don't think that was a concern of his. And that it was a very bold album, and I can appreciate that too.
Right. I like that because he's doing it for the artistry and not for the radio play and for the money and for the this or for the that.
He's his own guy. I think he's proved his point that he is one of the best rappers that we have today. And I don't think that was his goal here. So I see some people being very harsh with the, you know, some type of way this has turned into a Drake versus Kendrick.
How?
Type
like
of thing.
Very different.
And I don't think that that should ever be the case.
Nope.
Maybe because those are the two rappers that we have at the top of the game.
It's like comparing apples to oranges, though.
That's what I think.
Right. Yeah.
But I saw a lot of the Drake fans, you know, wanting to shit on Kendrick, shit on the album, shit on that. No, that's so.
There's
like,
room for everybody.
That's like really remedial. To me. And I don't think that Kendrick can be compared to anybody but Kendrick. I don't think he can be compared to Drake. I don't think he can be compared to Cole. You know. So then I started, I called around because this album was so different. And I needed to see what some of my contemporaries' opinion on this album was. And everyone loved it. No one said it's not for me. Which I thought was interesting. I thought that was interesting. And I don't really know how to gauge that, because when you have an artist as popular as Kendrick, that comes along with dick riding.
Yeah. But he also, they like his music, so they like the album.
No. Me talking about dick riding has absolutely nothing to do with Kendrick now. It has more so to do with people and their motives behind certain things. Long gone are the days in hip hop where you had the popular guy who was indifferent. I don't think we're going to see very many people of notoriety and very many of his peers express any type of displeasure with this album. And I can't possibly be the only person in the universe who thought, okay, this album, as great as it is constructed, is not for me. Can't be. It's not possible.
But yet you see everyone saying, this is my shit. Love this album.
Yeah. I don't even think that people...
As if it's the cool thing to say that you like the album.
Yeah. I don't even think that the majority of the people who are listening and commenting are intellectual enough to come away with everything that was
he truly meant for you to come away with from the album. I don't think
that at all. I don't. That Mortal Man shit was genius.
But I believe that music is made for people to take what you want from it. So although, yes, I'm sure, and not to discredit the work he put in for people to actually get the message, but the people that do enjoy it and are liking it for surface level, then look.
And then that was another one of my problems with this album. I think Mortal Man and Black of the Berry, and it was two other records that I thoroughly enjoyed, and they were like, wow, this guy is fucking, you know, his artistry was on full display. They were hip hop. They were rap songs. And I appreciated them being rap songs that stood out on this album that I wasn't sure I could categorize as a hip hop album because of the instrumentation. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, that's hip hop, though. Hip hop encompasses everything. So I think.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to, and again, I typically don't discuss hip hop with people because, number one, I feel like some people aren't knowledgeable enough for me to discuss hip hop with them, number one. And number two, I'm entirely too passionate about hip hop to just discuss it with people just for the fuck of it. Mm-hmm. So I try to stay away from that as a topic. But what I'm going to do, I'm going to go back, because again, when you have artists that are as amazing as Kendrick is, Kanye, there's a few of them that, I did this with Yeezus too. I went back some time later and listened to it again to see if I was wrong.
Yeah, I felt Yeezus was too left field for me.
Yeah, it was. It did have its bright spots, but just it wasn't for me.
I just didn't get it, and
it wasn't for me as an album.
Yeah, our producer's leaving us, by the way.
Well, you didn't have shit to add to this conversation anyway.
Yeah. He didn't chime in at all.
Well, I wanted to let you know, you guys have both sides very covered, but Joe, I do think that 100%, it's shocking that people wouldn't acknowledge that they don't get it, because you're right, most people don't. And my feeling is that the album is a brilliant piece of work. It's very cool. It's going to be critically applauded, blah, blah, blah. It delays Kendrick having to come back with another hit because it's just a critically great album.
Mm-hmm.
And I love it. I do think it will be considered a classic. However, I will not be listening to it nearly as much as I listen to Good Kid, M.A.A.D. City.
Way to jump in the combo when it's almost over.
That pretty much echoed my sentiment.
Yeah.
That's exactly how I feel.
Okay.
About it.
Well, I can't. Yeah, well, thank you.
And now you're out the
door. And there goes your contribution to this show. Thank you, Pete.
Damn, and now you just threw me off from what the fuck I was about to say.
You're going to go back, revisit it, and...
Yeah, I'm going to go back and revisit it. Yeah, no, we got it now. You can go on
Thanks.
About your business.
Just leave, because
you're not producing
you've done
anything.
Nothing here.
You're not adding anything. You echoed my sentiment. Your hat is weird. You got a red hat with a white fluffy ball on top of it, with a pink shirt and a black flight jacket with patches on it. You dress really fucking funky, man.
NASA patches.
I don't even know if I want to hear your Kendrick opinion with that with that outfit on. I don't know. I just don't know. But yeah, so I'm gonna go back and listen to Kendrick. The album a little later to see if I missed something, to see if I'm off, to see if I'm wrong.
Maybe
because
you, will, yeah.
you guys, I like to give people the benefit of the doubt. Mm-hmm. And you know, music sometimes catches you in a mood. I find that to be the case with a lot of beats that I'll listen to. I'll listen to a beat to try to come up with a song. I'll fucking hate the beat. I'll get nothing. I'll draw absolutely no inspiration from it. And that very same beat, I'll go back to 3 months later, and it'll be the best beat I've heard ever. Yep. So, you know, feelings are fickle when it comes to music that way. I just wish sometimes that I could hear music the way that the untrained ear does.
Objectively or subjectively?
Yeah. No, I listen objectively. I just listen different than the people that don't do it for a living.
Yeah, that's how I feel with commercials. Like, I'd want to just hear a commercial and think regular, but I'm thinking like, oh, how many takes did it take? And, oh, they messed up there. There's dead air there. Like, that's shit with radio and shit like that.
All of the projects that have been critically acclaimed from the best rappers that our game has to offer, quote unquote, I didn't get it.
None?
That makes three now. The Kendrick album,
mm-hmm.
Not for me, per se.
Okay.
Drake's project.
No, you didn't like it?
Not for me.
We're talking about the 2013 release?
Now, let me
explain
this to you idiots out there that are going to hear this and just start fucking going crazy and bananas. This podcast is really for a mature audience. I want to talk to the people that are coherent and can interpret exactly what I'm saying. None of this is hate. All of these are people that I applaud and admire. And me saying that the music is not for me is not to say it's bad music. It's just not for me. And I reserve the right to say that. Mm-hmm. I'm entitled to that. I know that me being an artist, I'm not allowed to say that because then people get into my credibility. Oh, what the fuck have you done? I don't really care about any of that. Those jokes are 10 years old.
I don't think it matters, you being an artist. You're a fan of hip-hop.
No,
and,
artists, yeah. No. Artists are not allowed to talk about music.
No, I know what you're saying, but they have to all look at you as a human being as well. That has
they
an
don't.
Opinion on hip-hop.
They don't. That's just a fact. They don't do it. But I don't care about that. The Drake project's not for me.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like he... he may have been targeting a certain demographic, a certain region. It was a lot of Trapper Drake, and I'm just not a big fan of Trapper Drake.
Which Drake fan are you?
Drake.
Okay. Well, that was like a throwaway anyway, I guess. Maybe that's
I'm not going to call it a throwaway. It's very successful. He did an amazing job.
Oh, hell yeah. But I mean, like, you know.
He wouldn't put that out as an album.
Him even calling it a mixtape when it was technically an album as far as the release goes.
Drake wouldn't.
Speaks to the fact that he didn't.
I'm confident in saying that Drake wouldn't put that body of work out as an album.
Right.
I don't think he would.
And he didn't.
So it's not for me. Like with Kendrick, I would have liked to have heard more rapping from that album. But I'm like a rapper's rapper.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I get that everybody is not big on hearing rapping from rappers, but I'd like to hear that. I would have liked to have heard more rapping from the Drake Project. It was a lot of 8s and 12s.
No 16s, really?
Not too many 16s and all. Energy, 10 Bands, Know Yourself, like Madonna. All of these records, a lot of 8s and a lot of 12s. He didn't really give me the fix I was looking for until 5 p.m. in New York.
Mm-hmm.
It is called 5 p.m. in New York, right? I get confused because he has three of them, 9 a.m., 5 a.m.
Yeah, he has mad times and mad places.
That's when I got the, all right, now niggas know not to fuck with Drake.
You'll probably get
level.
What you want on Views from the Six.
Drake is still just as lyrical as he's always been. He just is choosing to do something else.
Mixtape Drake. It's different.
No, can't say it's mixtape Drake because comeback season, so far gone.
Yeah, but he's evolved. Yeah, I guess. But at those points, he didn't have albums to put out to prove otherwise. Where, like, I say it in the sense that, like, back then, his mixtapes were his only form of let me show them what I have. Now, he has the difference of a mixtape and an album. So the mixtapes can be full of the let me play here, let me do this stuff. Whereas I'm going to reserve my real shit for the album. You know what I'm saying? Like, he has that option now. He didn't have that back then. His only option was the mixtapes.
And Cole's album wasn't for me.
Yeah. I like Cole, but yeah.
Everybody loved that Cole album. The diehard Cole fan said that was the exact album that they were waiting for from him. It just wasn't for me.
Yeah.
So maybe I'm just too old for this shit.
No, I don't think it's maybe just...
Now, Big Sean's album, shockingly.
Oh, that shit was bomb.
Was it so amazing because his last album was such a piece of shit?
Yeah,
and his last album was indeed a piece of shit.
I didn't hate it. I didn't hate the one as much as everyone else did, but I did find that it did not have a long replay value for me at all. It lasted about 3 weeks on my iTunes, and it was out of rotation.
Again, I know I'm not allowed to have an opinion or say the things that I'm saying.
No, but I think that's critical, like across the board agreed that his second album was just not.
It was really bad. And you know what? I think he knows it.
And I think that made for the better album this time around.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think this whole album
was put
together well.
I do agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
I do agree that sometimes a lackluster performance or a certain type of album can lead to a greater album later down the line.
I mean, it's going to, you know, and especially it being your second album where then you're kind of worried that you had the sophomore jinx. And
that's like my last album. My last album is going to make for a really amazing next album.
You didn't like No Love Lost?
There was a lot I could have fixed.
Okay.
Had a lot of bright spots. It needs to be sequenced better. Some of those songs shouldn't have been on there. I don't want to hear Top of the World anymore. Like, I can critique. Artists are typically their own worst critics.
Of course they are.
I know fans don't get that. I know fans think that we just love all of our shit that we put out and we're the best and we just, you know, but it's really different. Like, yeah, so I critique my own shit far worse than I critique other people.
Mm-hmm.
I just do it professionally. So when I'm critiquing music, like, I think I'm well versed enough to have the critiques that I have regarding artists and music and, you know.
I agree with you.
Yeah, that's my take, man.
Yeah. All right. Switch
gears to what? We've talked hip hop this whole fucking time.
I know, I wanted to get into our little segment.
Oh.
I really do enjoy that.
It might be over four. Oh, that's pretty hip hop too.
It is.
It might be over four.
You want to get it?
And I do want to, but before we get into that, I do want to congratulate Kendrick on putting out such a bold piece of work that's so missing in fucking hip hop. Whether it was for me or not, I have to congratulate and applaud the man because Jesus, that was gutsy. And you know, I applaud Kanye because he never puts out the same album
at all,
ever,
not even close. They have been so different. It's like it just speaks to the each era of Kanye. Like it switches up, and I really like that.
And now Kendrick, here he is, two albums in along that path. This album is so different from his debut, but they're both just amazing in bodies of work. Mm-hmm. Extremely different. So shout out to Kendrick, shout out to Cole, shout out to Drake, shout out to all you gentlemen out there fucking getting it and taking over rap and doing an amazing job holding it down.
Word, son.
With that said, it might be over four. What was that?
That was my drum roll.
Is that a drum roll?
That was my drum roll. Did it resonate in the microphone or not really?
No, it just sounded like you banging on the board.
Okay, well, that was a drum roll.
Wait, before you get into it.
Okay.
Hey, how much time have we been going?
We started at 1 on the dot, I believe, so I think we're at 48.
Wow, we talked about hip-hop for a long time.
We did.
Interesting.
Very.
You know, every week I could talk about hip-hop, by the way. Yeah, every single week. I have a... I try to protect myself from myself. and not discuss hip hop in detail for reasons that I said earlier. But every week I could really discuss a whole bunch of hip hop shit. But I won't. I'll save you guys from me and all my very unique perspectives. I keep interrupting you.
It's okay.
It might be over for... All right, let me do your bullshit drum roll.
Oh, like that was any better than mine?
It really is better because the pace of which I'm banging my hands on the table sounds...
I was going to try to do her accent, but I believe that I only do a British accent. But I'm going to do it anyway.
We don't need anyone's...
Iggy Azalea. Did I do it right, mate?
That's not a bad accent.
I actually do a wonderful accent. I'm just pretty sure that it's like British Cockney and not Australian.
That doesn't sound Australian at all.
I don't think
it's real,
so.
Real London-y.
Yeah, but you know what? At least it's something.
Can you take it off now?
Okay, sorry.
What the fuck?
Yeah,
Iggy Azalea.
That bitch is melting down.
You think it might be over for?
Yeah, and you know what? I actually really rooted for her a couple years ago in 2013 when she hit like Work and when she made the cover. And I want to say it was 2012 when she hit the cover.
And look how fast you stopped rooting for her.
Well, it's not that I'm not rooting for her. I just think that she's not going to be able to handle it. It does not seem like fame is something that's working for this girl. She can't handle the criticism. She can't handle the paparazzi photos. She can't handle the negative shit that people leave on her comments. They're leaving the same shit on her comments that they're leaving on fucking Rihanna's or poor little Karrueche's or any of these people. And they're still selfieing it up, not giving a flying fuck, where Iggy melts down, deletes her Twitter, pushes back her tour 5 months, and spezzes out on Papa John's. So it's really working out for her.
I didn't really get that whole her and Papa John's beef. That was just really random and
But you know
stupid.
What the thing is, too, though? I actually really feel for the girl. I feel like she has really valid arguments sometimes. I just think that she cries wolf so much that when she does have a valid situation, people don't want to hear from her anyway because she's a good scapegoat. She's an easy scapegoat. They just like to pick on her. The Papa John's thing was valid. The fucking kid took her number and was blowing up her phone. Like, have some professionalism, people. Like, this is a company that has to hold valuable credit card information and customer contact info.
Yeah, while it was valid, it wasn't.
I mean...
You know how many times fucking some random person from AT&T just starts fucking calling me and texting me and to tell me how big of a fan they are? Do you think I'm going to spend 4 days on Twitter calling out AT&T? I demand you give me some... Like, I'm just not doing it.
Actually, at my bank the other day, the guy was like, hey, do you do a podcast with Joe Budden? And I was like, oh,
yeah, like, that's unprofessional.
My God. Yeah, I don't want to know that you know me, so when I overdraft or something that you're like... Damn, this bitch got a podcast and she can't even pay her bills.
Yeah, there's way too many sightings of unprofessionalism, and I don't need to see you rant and tweet about it for 4 days. I'm sure there's another way that you or somebody on your team can handle that accordingly.
Very accordingly.
Like, we don't care.
Yeah, I think at that point she kind of takes it as, like, she's looking for a little... sympathy. Like, I don't even want to say attention, but the sympathy. She's looking for people to sympathize with her and just stroke her ego to remind her that she's right. But I think that speaks to her really melting down with this. Like, she's gotten a lot more hate than I have seen from other artists. and I do believe it's because she's a white female in hip hop. Like, I'm gonna,
It's because she can't rap.
No, so like. Look at Fergie, for example, and
Fergie never claimed to be a rapper.
Yeah.
Never, not a once.
I guess.
So when we have this video of Iggy Azalea on Sway in the Morning, because Sway will always ask everyone to freestyle, and she does
that piece of shit.
That was like
tragic.
The worst freestyle I had ever heard in my life. And anybody who disagrees just doesn't really know hip hop at all.
It wasn't even really a freestyle because it was a song she had, and it was just trash.
All right, well, maybe that's why it was bad.
Yeah.
Because she should, that song and the songs, the type of songs that she makes shouldn't, are not songs that you can pull a verse from and just
at
put
all.
Them on a beat.
Yeah.
And
so, she makes, you know, like pop, like hip hop. That's kind of how I would look at it.
Hip hop.
Yeah.
That's a good way to look at it. Again, I'm not familiar enough with Iggy Azalea music, but I know that particular freestyle, quote unquote, was really bad. And the caller called up and expressed his disgust. And then I felt bad because nobody should have to endure that. And I thought Sway should have done a better job screening those calls.
Yeah, it's a little, I mean, but then again, like I said, she gets picked apart. Like, they had Eve and Jill Scott on Sway in the Morning, and for whatever reason, the topic of conversation was how Iggy has a hip-hop voice, or a black voice when she raps, but her accent is Australian. Like, you know, you're going to develop...
We shouldn't care about that, yeah.
You're going to develop, like, a twang or whatever, I don't know if that's the right word, like, when you rap, just the same way the fucking Spice Girls, when they sing, you don't hear their British accents in the shit, they sound American, and, like, it's just, you know...
Yeah, that's nitpicking.
Exactly, and at that point, that's why I do feel for her, but at the same time, and, like, you know, Snoop doing the meme, that was funny, and then she just took it to a different level.
Yeah,
like,
she made it unfunny.
Exactly. Like, take the joke. I mean, he puts memes of a bunch of people. Like, it's really, you know... And again, that's why I say I don't think she can handle this. And
she's popular. She had the number one record in hip-hop for quite some time.
Yeah, and then she followed up with the Black Widow song with Rita Ora, which also did very well. And she was supposed to go on a huge tour. It was an arena tour starting next month with opening acts Tinashe and Nick Jonas, and pushed it back 5 months. And
why?
She says because she's so anal about it, and she's crazy. It's her first big arena tour, and she wants to make it perfect, and yada, yada, yada.
All right, so ticket sales were slow.
You know what I'm saying? And
that's
like,
what that means.
You know how much that cost? As an entertainer, you should know how much it costs to push back a tour like that.
Well, not me, because I've never been fortunate enough to do arenas.
Well, let's put it into perspective.
All right, let's be clear here.
Let's put it into perspective. Chris Brown had to push back the Between the Sheets tour only 2 weeks, and it cost him $3 million. And that was 2 weeks. So, you know, five months.
I believe that?
Of course. You have to reschedule, rebook the team. You have to pay people for time lost and all that stuff.
I could see how it costs a lot.
So this is an arena tour with a huge team and two other acts. And the funny shit is Tinashe obviously had to jump off because I guess September doesn't work for her. And then she joined Nicki Minaj's tour, which is humorous.
Which is probably a better look.
And yeah, for sure. No, I absolutely agree. I think that'll introduce her to the right crowd. Whereas Iggy's is like, what exactly crowd are you getting with it? You're probably getting like a white girl crowd, I would think.
I'd love to know what crowd is that. I may go just to...
To a Nicki crowd?
No.
Oh, Iggy.
Yeah.
I feel like it's very predominantly white.
I'd like to just look around.
White young girls I could see would be a Iggy Azalea fan. Because my mom liked...
A lot of casual listeners.
Not hip-hop fans. It's not. It's definitely not.
Fans.
It's pop fans.
But
she
I
gets
mean,
played on pop radio.
Yeah. Yeah.
My
yeah,
mom likes Iggy. So there's that.
And that pretty much ends that one. Even though more importantly, and I mean, this is just the way that my brain functions to let the listeners know, if I'm going to stare at a white wall, I'm going to try to figure out why it's white, how it got to be white, and who was the determining factor in it being white. Like, just it being white is never enough. And with that said, all I could try to figure out during this whole Iggy Azalea Papa John's beef was, why is she ordering from Papa John's?
Papa John's.
You would.
Their cheesy sticks or whatever, that shit is like, I would write a letter to somebody about how good they are.
I don't think Papa John's is the go-to pizza place.
Oh,
I don't think anybody
hungry.
Just says, yo, you got a Papa John's around here? It's like, I don't
what
get
do you
that.
Prefer?
I'm not really a pizza orderer.
Yeah, I don't really ever see you really.
And when I do, I like to go to like the local. I support my local businesses.
I literally.
But
like,
if I'm doing a chain, since you asked me a question, can I at least answer it?
Okay.
If I'm doing a chain, then I maybe will do Domino's. Not that I think they have the best pizza, but I like their the combination of their food the best. I like their wings better than Pizza Hut. I like their other shit better than other shit from Pizza Hut. So I go with Domino's.
I really like all of them. I like literally just when the mood strikes me, like, today's a Domino's day, today's a Pizza Hut day, today's a Papa John's day, today's a local pizzeria day. It just kind of goes with the flow. And maybe that day was a Papa John's day for her.
I wanted to really expound on my Monopoly night that I had on Saturday when I watched
I watched
my dear friend babysit some pussy all night long, and I tweeted about it. I really wanted to get into that because that's a really important topic amongst our gender as men. Babysitting pussy. Yeah. A lot of guys just weren't raised right, like, to know when something is dead ass wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That's another reason I hang out with younger people, because somebody has to teach these people the same way to deal, and older people taught me when I was young.
Like, okay.
Even I just was, whatever. We'll talk about that on next week. But hip hop was more important than that today.
Yeah. Are you going to South by Southwest?
No.
Me neither.
This is the first year in quite a few years that I am not going to South by Southwest. Because I don't drink and because I don't smoke, those events are not as fun for me as they are for everyone else. And two, I'm really engulfed in trying to finish my album, which is taking a little longer than I anticipated because I'm trying to do some things a bit differently. Yeah.
I'm not going because those situations are really overwhelming for me and it's too many decisions to make. And then I'm worried that I'm going to go to the wrong event and the pop and shit's going to be somewhere else. I've only gone one time. That was last year when we were together. And the only reason I went last year was because Ty Dolla $ign was performing at the event for the company that I worked for. So I wanted to see Ty Dolla $ign.
You're a real stan.
Oh, I'm like probably the world's biggest Ty Dolla $ign
fan. I don't
want
to spend any time talking about your fuckery, stanery for Ty Dolla $ign. I really don't. A lot of festivals are coming up. OVO Fest is coming up.
A lineup announced today. J. Cole, YG, Big Sean. Basically, J. Cole routed his tour through OVO Fest, so he's bringing all his opening acts.
Smart.
Yeah, and then Kevin Hart was just added as we were sitting here.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. So August 2nd and 3rd, I believe, which is a Sunday and a Monday. Very odd choice. Why not do a Saturday and a Sunday?
That was really great.
What?
That OVO Fest.
You went before?
Lineup.
Oh, the lineup.
Lineup, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it should be really good.
And I went years ago. Maybe it was the first one. I don't fucking
remember.
Yeah,
we're on 6 right now.
Yeah, it was many years
I feel like
ago.
It should be cool because it's the 6th annual and it ties in with his whole theme. I'm feeling like he'll like drop the album on us some surprise tip that weekend or something like that.
I do feel like Drake will have a surprise album coming at some point.
I believe that for sure. Just
I do really like the surprise album thing.
I feel like it's working. I feel like it's good. And even Kendrick kind of followed that.
Slow down.
Formula. He did a 2-week advance notice, which isn't much.
Slow down with the I feel like it's working.
I mean, it is. It worked for D'Angelo. It worked for Beyonce.
How many copies did D'Angelo sell?
I don't know, but he debuted higher than he debuted in like the top 5 with a pretty solid number.
What was the number?
I don't know. I'm not a walking.
Can you Google it right now? Can you just find out? My problem with the surprise album, and I just, because I have to have a problem with everything. Mm-hmm. Not that I have a problem. That's not true. I take it back. That wording is horrible. Because I love the surprise album thing that everyone is doing. I guess my concern with it is that you have to be the fucking biggest artist in the universe to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Like Big Sean still had a normal rollout. Wale still had a normal rollout. I am sure we'll still have a normal rollout. Yeah, but it's been a rollout. He's got a single.
No, I'm saying, yeah, I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, Wale's album is dropping next week. You have to be fucking Elvis to be able to do a surprise album. Frank Ocean, I'm sure, is dropping a surprise album sometime soon. Can't fool us. Yeah, that's my only issue with that, is that tactic and strategy is reserved for all of the biggest artists, while the rest of us fucking bottom feeders just have to do it the normal way. Which is not really true. I take that back. Because I would love to just drop a surprise album. And I can, because I don't really give a fuck about the performance of it.
Killed around 100,000.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
That's fucking fantastic.
He was right up with Nicki Minaj. They both did surprise same week. No, Nicki didn't do surprise. They came out the same week.
Yeah. Yeah, you can do a surprise album if you don't give a fuck about the performance at all. But then the label probably would stop that.
Yeah.
The label probably cares about the performance.
Do you consider Kendrick a surprise?
That's a surprise album.
Yeah.
It didn't have your...
It was within a two-week period of announcement.
Yeah, it wasn't. It wasn't. I mean, it didn't have your typical rollout. There's no single. There's no, you know, he didn't go on this huge promo tour. But it wasn't because they did put out I.
Yeah, and The Black or the Berry.
Yeah, but I was worked.
Yeah, it was service
they,
radio.
They worked that record.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened from there, I don't know. But I think the surprise album route was the best one to take. Especially for an album of that magnitude and that substance, and you know,
Cole did the same thing. He did like a 2-3 week notice, I believe.
Yeah, but what people are doing, fans, don't be fooled. I hate to be the guy to fucking remove the smoke and mirrors. These albums are plant surprises, and they are being worked and they are being marketed. They're just being marketed differently. Cole popping up at every fan's house is indeed a marketing plan.
Mm-hmm.
Cole buying out the movie theater for every fan to come and sit with him and fucking have coffee and pizza, that's a marketing plan.
Like that was written down months before with the team.
Yeah, him buying his old house and letting everyone know and going to take pictures in it and, you know, all of this shit. All of these things are marketing plans. They're just very unique. Different marketing plans disguised covertly to not make you think that they are marketing plans. I hate to be that guy. See, this is what I mean about wishing that I could just see and hear shit like the regular fan.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have very much input here, huh?
No, but if I
we're
know
not talking
you're
about
saying.
Ty Dolla Sign, and then you just are gone. You're done. You're finished. You know, I'm done with Marissa. How much time are we at here?
We're at an hour.
Are we at an hour? Please say we are. All right, an hour or 59 minutes?
I was responding to someone said we're slacking because the new episode.
Oh, we're past an hour. Are we past an hour? Oh, great.
I was trying to yell at this person that said we're slacking because we don't have an episode out. You're slacking because you don't pay attention. It comes out on Wednesdays.
Yeah, we do Wednesdays.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that this podcast will go out and I will hear a bunch of feedback and a bunch of negativity from
all
the people.
But I feel like you said it so positively.
Who,
like, how can you possibly take that wrong? How? You said it so nicely.
Because interpretation is not a skill that people today excel at.
Yeah.
I'm certain that people will hear it and just hear what they want to hear. I'm sure that blog sites will snatch it and snatch the juiciest headline for people
Joe
to
Budden
click
says,
on it.
Joe Budden says Kendrick Lamar's album
sucks ass. Like, and I didn't say that. So then you're going to come
and he doesn't understand Drake or J. Cole.
Yeah. They're gonna
and you're
going to
get, who the fuck do you think you are? Your last hit was Pump It Up and clubbing with Marcus Houston. I always use those as points of reference.
I know, it's which is horrible. Because, you know, let me address that for two quick
seconds. Those are my only Joe. Actually, I mean, I have a few Joe Budden songs.
Number one, She Don't Put It Down was...
That's my jam, too. It's in my iPod.
That was on Billboard Top 100.
I like X's as well, though
well,
that wasn't
that's
a single.
That's not a single.
Oh, well, that's three. I know word for word,
and
front and back.
Let's just pretend that She Don't Put It Down does not exist and that Pump It Up is my only hit. If Pump It Up came out in 2002, 2003, right? No, February 2003 is when we released that song. And today is whatever the date is, 2015. Wouldn't you think I'm a little immune to the to all of the Pump It Up jokes by now? Don't you think, unless you're like super creative, don't you think I've heard every single Pump It Up joke that has ever existed to mankind?
Did Fire do well too?
Let's think here for a minute. Yeah, Fire did well, but then they snatched it away because they wanted to go a different route and all of this bullshit that's not important today.
But so, either way, yeah, Put It Down did do really well.
Yeah, no, Put It Down was great.
That was a cool song.
Did amazing, sold a whole bunch of singles. Sold 100,000 records. We did great. One day, maybe as I'm schooling the youth and you young idiots out there about hip hop, maybe I'll finally explain to you guys the difference between an independent and a major and how they both function.
That's a cool conversation.
That's a really
good... I really enjoy conversations like that and just the inner workings of things in the
background. Yeah, because I do feel like people need to know that. Just if I'm a bevy of information, I'd like to try to pass it on to somebody, and maybe it'll be helpful to you guys out there.
I was having a long convo with my friend the other day about the breakdowns of, like, when you make a song, because, you know, the whole topic of the $16 million that Blurred Lines made.
Mm-hmm.
Just trying to figure out how that works, how the producer gets the cut, and how this person and that person. It's really kind of interesting how it all works out and breaks down, and I like that stuff.
I saw a tweet. Somebody said the gay family is suing mountains for being high enough. I thought that was hilarious.
That just was fucking really funny. Jermaine Dupri wants to come over, come at Ciara now.
Yeah, for Usher's record.
For iPad, yeah.
I haven't heard the Ciara record.
Yeah, me neither.
So I can't comment on it.
Me neither. But I feel like this is going to be, I mean, it's something that's been happening, though. Like, it's not like producers don't forever come for their coins when their record gets illegally sampled, but.
Yeah, now we just know about it.
Yeah, now it's just highlighted, I guess, in mainstream media. But that's happened forever. That's why artists put out mixtapes and they sample the fuck out of everything because they can't clear that shit for their album. That's where that comes from.
Good old hip hop.
Yeah.
With that said, my name is Joe Budden. You should say your name at this
point. My name is Marissa.
All right,
Mendez.
We don't care what your name is at this point.
Yes, they care.
I'll name this podcast later, episode 5.
Cinco
de Mayo.
Nope, it's still March. Actually, happy St. Patrick's Day yesterday because this comes out tomorrow. See how I clean that up?
Yeah, it is St. Patrick.
It is. There's hella white people outside with like shamrocks on their face.
I have to go out and try and get some white girl pussy.
We're literally on a bar with Matt. I mean, on a street with Matt bars. You could find.
I'm not trying to get white girl pussy at fucking 2 in the afternoon.
And they're gonna be really drunk and probably retarded.
Fuck yeah.
Donkey donkey.
Anyway, signing out. I'll holler. One.
Peace.